Zaf is Shabbos Daf Tzadi. It is the last daf of the ninth parak of Masech Shabbos. We go back now to the discussions we were having before about the shiurim of chiyu for hotza'a on various items. So we had our side discussion about Kabbalah HaTorah, but now we're back to the main topic that we were discussing previously. How much of each item does one have to carry in order to be chayiv for hotza'a? So says the Mishnah, we're at the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Tesam and Beis, Hamotzi Eitzim, if a person carries out Eitzim, carries wood on Shabbos, Kedei Levashel Beitza Kalitz, the amount of wood that would be necessary to cook the most easily cooked type of egg. Not a whole egg, but a shear of a grogros of the egg, because an egg is food, and all food, the shear is always a grogros, but the Beitza Kalitz is the most easily type of cooked egg, the egg of a hen. Tavlin Kedei Letava, of a chicken, Tavlin Kedei Letava Beitza Kalitz, and spices, also Kedei Letava Beitza Kalitz, the amount that you would need to spice a beitza kala. Umitztarf in ze imze, and different types of spices could be mitztarf with each other to make up the shear for hotza'a. Klipe goes in klipe rimonim istis upoa, different types of shells of nuts and of pomegranates and other types of items that are used in the dyeing process, that are used as dyes. Kedelitzpoa behen beged katan pi savcha. The shear would be the amount that you would need to dye a small beged that a woman would wear on top of her hat. Pi savcha, Rash says, barosha savcha shasa biklia nosin ma'at beged. They would put this tiny little piece of cloth on top of a hat that a woman would wear, so that beged, that piece of cloth, the amount of dye you would need to dye that piece of cloth is the minimum shear to be chayav for hotza'a. Meraglayim, neser, uboris, kamulya, va'ashleg, different types of detergent that they would use to clean things with. Meraglayim is urine, but it was used as a detergent, and the Gemara will identify all of these other detergents. Kedei l'chabes beged katan pisavcha. Again, it's the amount of detergent necessary to clean that beged katan, that small piece of cloth that the woman would wear on her hat. Rabbi Yehuda omer kedei l'havir sakesem. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's the shear that you would need to remove a kesem. The halacha is, in Maseches Nida, the Gemara discusses, in order to define, to determine whether dam is, whether a red stain is in fact dam or not, is they would be mavir zayin sammanim, the Mishnayos tell us. We would take shiva sammanim, the seven detergents, and try to clean it, and depending on whether it gets cleaned or not, then we could tell whether it's blood or whether it's dye. Now it's interesting, over here we only mention five of the sammanim, we don't mention all seven sammanim. The two that are missing are rok tafel, which is raw saliva. If a person wakes up in the morning, the saliva that he has in his mouth that still hasn't, before mouthwash, before brushing his teeth, and le'isos chalukas grease and shalpul, and chewed up beans. So probably the reason those two aren't mentioned is because we're talking about the minimum shear of hotza'a on Shabbos. Rok tafel is something that the Gemara over there says you need with each of the other detergents. So it's not really an independent detergent. It's something that has to get mixed with all the others. And chalukas grease and shalpul, the shear is ka'ochlin, because it's a food. So we know that the shear is grogros. We probably have the same shear as ochlin. That's what the Shnos Eliyahu points out, why we only mention five out of the seven detergents that are mentioned in Maseches Nida. But anyway, it's a machlokas. What the minimum shear of detergent is it the amount to clean the this little beged that a woman would wear on top of her hat, or is it the amount that they would use to be mavir on a kesem? So says the Gemara. Tanina chadazimna. Didn't we already learn the first statement of our Mishnah was that if you have eitzim, it's kedei levashel beitza kala, the amount of wood that you would need to cook a beitza kala. But we already learned once, kana kedei lasos kolmus im haya avo merusas kedei levashel beitza kala shem beitzim trufa nesuna beilfis. We learned that if you have a reed, so if it could be used to make a quill, so then that would be the shear, the size of the reed that you would use to write with. But if it's a reed that's not usable as a pen, so then we say that the shear is, you have to view the reed as firewood. And what's the shear of firewood? The amount that you would need in order to cook a beitza kala. So what are we being mechadish now when we talk about actual wood? It's the same thing as a reed that can't be used to make a pen and will have to be used as wood. So that's the same thing as actual wood. So what are we learning different in our Mishnah? And it's the Gemara, Ma'u detei mahasamu delo chazi lemidi, avle etzim dechazu lekacha de iklida afilu kol shehu. Over there, a reed is very soft, and therefore, if it can't be used to write with, if it can't be used as a writing instrument, the only other option is to burn it and use it as firewood. But over here, we're dealing with wood. Wood is much harder, and therefore, it can still be. One may have thought that the shear should be a kol shehu because it could be used to make the teeth of a key. So, because it's harder, it has other functions. So, kamashman, therefore, comes to tell me, no, we still view it based on its minimum shear to be used as firewood, not based on anything else. Tavlin kedei letavel beitzakala. The Mishnah went on to say that if you have spices, it's the amount of spices that you're chayef rotzah on, is the amount that it takes to spice a beitzakala, or a minu tavlin shnayim v'gimel shemos min echad, o mishlosh minin asurin m'sar from zem zeh. If you have different spices that are either three varieties of a single min, Rash says like pilpul lavan, shachar, aruch, if you have peppers, white peppers and dark peppers, so different types of peppers, That's gimel shemos mimin echad, or shlosha minim. You just have three totally different spices. They're all asur mitzariv zemzeh. They combine with each other to make up the shear. If they, if together they're able to spice a beitzakala. Va'amar chizkia b'mine metika shanu hol v'ruuyin lamate kedera. But chizkia qualifies that only if they all have the same basic type of flavor. That if they're all sweetening type of flavor, so then they could combine with each other. You could combine the sugar with the sweet and low with the equal. You could, because they're all basic sweeteners. Taimed the chazulamatik is a kadera halav achilo, but it sounds like it's only because they're roy to be mematik the kadera together. But another min would not be mitzarif with them because it's not doing the same thing. So yet we learned in our Mishnah that it's kadei l'tavel beitzakala and mitzarif from zemzeh, that they're all mitzarif, and we don't have any qualifications on what is and is not mitzarif. We just said they're all. So hachinami chazul lematik. So the Gemara explains that our mission also meant that it's chazul lematik, that it's mitzarif with each other if they can work in concert with each other and actually affect the food together. Now Tosas raises the question. Wait a second. Vim tomar hechi mayri ibn osin tam afilu shar minim nami viyein vehem ben osin tam afilu minim itika nami lo. If it's able to give tam into the food, so then why does it matter whether it's same min, different min? If it gives tam, so that by definition should be considered chashuv, that it's able to affect the flavor of the food. And if it's not benosin tam, then why does it matter that it's mine metika? If it's not enough mine metika to actually affect anything, so of what value is that? That doesn't do you any good. So Tosa says, yeshlom da'afilu b'yeshme nosin tam shari b'shar minim to nosin tam lefgamhu, that even if it is nosin tam doesn't always mean chashuv. So it doesn't always make something chashuv. Just because it's benosin tam doesn't mean it's a good tam. Some things affect food very negatively, and therefore, by shar minim, if it's no same tam, it's still not going to be asur to carry on Shabbos because it's still not considered chashuv as long as it's no same tam lefgam. If it gives a negative taste into the food instead of a positive taste into the food, the concept of no same tam lefgam we're most familiar with in Ilchus Kashrus in Yaradeya, the Gemara Darshins in Maseches Avodah Zarah, that legera sher b'sharecha titnenu, that if you have a nevela, so you should give it legera sher b'sharecha. So why does it say give it legera sher b'sharecha? Just say you're not allowed to eat it. Why does it have to say that you give it to a guy? So ger over there means guy. Means ger toshav. So why does it say that you give it to a guy? So the Gemara Darshins nevela ru'i leger kri nevela v'she'en ru'i leger ena kri nevela. That only that which is that which could be eaten by a human being, that which a human being would normally eat, is called nevela. Otherwise, it's not called nevela at all. It's not even considered not kosher if it has a negative taste. So that's part of the concept of ena ru'i la'achila and nosin tam lefgam. Is a related concept that even if something is still roi la'achila, but the non-kosher ingredient gave it a bad taste, it affected the taste in a negative way, so then it's not going to be considered, even though you can sense that the non-kosher ingredient is there, but it ruined it a little bit. That was one of the sniffim we had the hakel when it came to the Starbucks coffee, where they discovered that the dishwashers that were being used, it was being washed with non-kosher foods. So someone pointed out, but it's whatever tam of the ham sandwiches or whatever it is that they serve in the store may end up in your coffee, that would definitely be nilsin tam lufgam. If any of that tam would end up in your coffee, presumably that would be nilsin tam lufgam. So it's another sniff lahakel on that issue. We wouldn't rely on that alone, probably, but that would at least be a sniff lahakel. Okay, anyway, so says the Gemara further now. We're at the two dots, three lines in on Daf Tzadia Amud Aleph. Klipei Agozim, Klipei Ramonim, Satim, Satis, U Poa, Kedei Lisboa, Beged Katan. So we said these different types of dyes, the minimum shear to be chayv for Otsa on these different dyes is the amount that you would need to dye this small Beged, or a minhi, but we ask a stira amotzi, someone mshurim, Kedei Lisboa, Behen, Dugma Li'ira. We gave a different shear. We said that when you're dealing with dyes, it should be the amount that it takes to dye the Dugma Li'ira, the weaver's bobbin. He would take a small piece of wool and he would dye it in order to show so that people can know as a sample. He would say, would you, you know, to ask people if they would want to buy that type of they want to order a full baguette of that type of colored wool. So it's a different shear. It's not the beged katan that's on the top of a woman's hat. When you have an actual, it's already dyed, you already have a dye that's made, so then it would be the amount that that you would need to color the thing for the weaver, the sample for the weaver. But if the dye is not yet made, no one would ever make the dye just to color the weaver sample. So if you're dealing with the raw materials, the minimum shear is going to be a larger amount, the amount that you would need to dye the beged katan that's on the top of a woman's head. We've had that answer several times already, that there's a process that you would go through that you wouldn't bother for something very tiny, and therefore we have to have a larger shear. Meiraglayim, the Mishnah then went on to list five out of the seven detergents that we use to clean things with, and the first one is Meiraglayim. So Tana Meiraglayim ad ben mem yom. So Meiraglayim is up until 40 days. What does that mean? Ben mem yom. So Tosa says girsa meiraglayim ben mem yom, and he says ein girsa zu nechona. The girsa of ben mem yom is not correct. The mashma shall katan ben mem yom, because if you have the girsa of ben mem yom, it sounds like you're talking about meiraglayim of a 40-day-old baby. That's the type of meiraglayim that would be used as a detergent. But he says that can't be the case because we have a sugya nida about these detergents. Ube nida perkeisha gabi zayin sam manam avirin katani kol hanidahacha. The Gemara asks about meiraglayim. Is it meiraglayim of a child, meiraglayim of an old person? So it can't be ben mem yom, because then there would be no shiloh over there, whether it's of a child or an old person. V'istigarsi shel mem yom. Some have a girsa that it's 40-day-old meiraglayim. Well, that can't be the case either, because the Gemara over there also discusses meiraglayim shechmitzu, meiraglayim that's left to turn stale, and it takes 3 days, it says, not 40. V'nirukis farm de garsi ad mem yom. The Gemara over there, the Brisa in Nida, says that when does meiraglayim start? When can you first begin to use meiraglayim as a detergent? That's 3 days after it leaves the person's body. But it doesn't say for how long it's still viable for use as a detergent. So that's what those, that's what our Gemara is adding in. Our Gemara is adding when it hits its expiration date. The expiration date is mem yom. La'achar mem yom ein mavirin. It's no longer used as a detergent. Neser, Satana Neser Alexandrus Velo Neser and Pantarin. This Neser, which is another type of detergent, is the kind that we're referring to, is from Alexandria, not from Anpantaria. The Boris Amrabiuda Zechol. Boris is a reference to chol, to sand. Vatanya Boris Vachol. How could you say Boris is chol? It says in a Braisa that both Boris and chol are listed separately in a Braisa. Elamai Boris Kavrisa. So Boris is sulfur. So Mesve Yosifa Leina Chalvitzin Vahali Inun v'haboris v'ahal v'is salkadaitach kavrisa kavrisa misa b'shvius, that we have in the context of Shvius, where we discuss what items are subject to the restrictions of the Shemitah year, what are not. So we list Boris on the list. But if Boris is sulfur really subject to any of the Shemitah restrictions? Va'atnan or Va'atanya Zaklal, Kol Sheyesh Lo Iker, Yesh Lo Shvius, Shein Lo Iker, Ein Lo Shvius. And Boris is something that's Ein Lo Iker, so it should not be subject to the halachos of Shemitah. Elam, my boris ahala. So boris is something else. It's ahala, some other type of thing that could be used as a detergent. Va'tanya, but we have a brisa boris va'ahala. But again, we have a brisa that lists them as two separate things. So trei gavni ahala. Yeah, there are two different types of ahala. That's why it's we say boris and ahala. So Tos raises the problem. At first, we said that what's boris? We said it's chol. So why do we reject that? Because we said Vatanya haboris vachol, that we have a brisa that lists boris and chol separately. Now we say it's ahla. We have a brisa that lists boris and ahla separately. We say okay, no problem. That's trei gavni ahla. Why didn't we say no problem before? It's trei gavni chol. Why do we just think of that idea now? We rejected the possibility, our first possibility, based on the fact that we have a brisa that lists them separately. So Tos says lel d'lo trei gavni chol mishum dekim le delekabu trei gavan. Says you just have to say it's a balabata sheteretz, but you have to say that they must have had a tradition that there aren't trei gavni chol, and there are in fact trei gavni. Oh, it's a Metzius question. So that's why I was able to say Trey Gavni Ahala. Kimulia, Amar of Yehuda, Shlof Dutz. Kimulia is Shlof Dutz. Zakt Rashi, what is Shlof Dutz? So Rashi says, Lo Sparish, Avul Kach Shemo. No idea what it is, but that's what it's called. It's called Shlof Dutz. Beis Yosef in Yardaya, Simon Kuvtzadi. Kuvtzadi is a very long simon in Yardaya about ksamim, about all the halachos of a stain of that a woman finds on her clothing that may make her anida midrabanan. So the Beis Yosef in Yardaya, Simon Kuvtzadi, writes that this whole concept of being mavir shiva sammanim, of taking these seven detergents to determine whether it's really dam or not really dam, is no longer applies, because he says we don't know what they are anymore. And a good example is this one. Rashi himself says, even after the Gemara identifies it, we have no idea what it is, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens over there in Sif Lamed Alf in Siman Kuf Tzadi, that and the Bir Agra right away is mitzayin to our Rashi, because our Rashi is the raya that we have no idea what these things are. That's why we're not allowed to rely on these sammanim. There are chemical tests that they could do to determine whether something is really blood and what kind of blood it is, that don't involve the shiva sammanim. For whatever reason, the poskim don't seem to have latched on to the test. Anyone go into a lab and figure it out in a matter of minutes, figure out what it really is. But we follow our tradition, our traditions of figuring it out. In fact, I was just talking to Rav Silver at a chasna, and he told me that someone he knows brought a shiloh once to Diane Fisher, and Diane Fisher looked at it. And he said, your wife is not a nida, but you should bring her to the emergency room immediately. Meaning he was able to tell immediately, just by the look of the dam, that it was from an infection or whatever, from something that was wrong. Okay, so anyway, so that we don't know about these shiva sammanim anymore. Ashleg Amar Shmuel Shaltinu l'kol nechusayama. So he says, we asked kol nechusayama va'amrli shonana shemei. They asked to identify what this ashleg, and they said it's called shonana. U'mishtakach b'nukva d'marganisi. You could find it in the whole of pearls. Umafkile beramtsub de parzla. You have to take it out with a very pointy iron instrument. That's how it's removed. Okay. Viter, next mission continues to discuss minimum shiurim of hatzah and Shabbos. Pilpelas kolshuhu. A pepper, kolshuhu, even the tiniest amount, is you're going to be chayav for hatzah. The itron kolshuhu. Tar also, just a kolshu, you're going to be chayav for carrying. Mine besamim, mine matkos kolshehin. Different types of besamim, of spices and different types of metal, also kolshu, even in the tiniest amounts. Me avne amizbeach, me offer amizbeach, mekak svarim, mekak mitbuchoseim, if you are carrying the stones of the Mizbeach, or the dirt that goes to making the Mizbeach, or worm eaten svarim, and worm eaten covers of svarim, so again, the shear is kolshu, because that's how much you would be matznia, that's how much you would put away to put into geniza. As Rashi points out, because kol davar kadosh requires geniza, you need to put any item that has kedusha into geniza. That's what the Rambam writes in Yisrael Torah, Perek Vav, Halach, that if you have kisvei hakodesh that are worn out, they do require geniza. And kol tashmishei kedusha, you're not allowed to throw out, even after they can no longer be used. They have to they have to be put into geniza. That's what Shulchan Aruch paskens. Yerodei simin resh pei beis sefer Torah shabala o nifsal. You put it into a kvicheres. You bury it next to a talmud chacham. Zeu genizaso. That's what we've pointed out many times in the past. This is different than tashmishei mitzvah. Tashmishei Mishay Kedusha, the halacha is that once it's worn out and you can't use it anymore, you have to bury it, you have to put it into what we call Shemus. But Tashmishay Mitzvah, a lulav after you're done with it, menorah after you're done with it, the oil from menorah after you're done with it, all these different Tashmishay Mitzvah that are used, that are designated for the use of a mitzvah, there's no requirement to put into Shemus. The requirement is just to get rid of it. It's Nizrak, and it could technically be thrown out. Our minhag is that we're knowing to throw it out in a more respectful way. We wrap it up and we throw it out. How do you define the difference between Tashmishay Kedusha and Tashmishay Mitzvah? So Rav Shechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi, B'Shem Rav Salvechik, that it seems if you look at the lists that the Gemara, Megillah, and elsewhere gives for what's considered Tashmishay Kedusha always seems to be something that's associated with Ksav Shel Torah. It always seems to be something that's associated with the mezuzahs, Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, things that have actual writing of Shem Hashem on it. But things that are not associated with Ksav Shel Torah, that just happen to be used for a mitzvah, like a lulav, tzitzis, things of that nature, they do not require geniza. They are nizrakin. And he said al derech agada a little bit. So that's why perhaps there's no halacha of kvura on meseyakum, on an Einu Yehudi that dies. There's no mitzvah of kvura because we're all tashmisha mitzvah. Every human being is tashmisha mitzvah. Why? Because they have seven mitzvahs and we have tarayag mitzvahs. There should be a difference. He said no, because the Torah is said to be chakuk aluach libecha, that for Klal Yisrael we are the parchment, so to speak, of the Torah Shebal Peh, that the Torah Shebal Peh is engraved on our hearts, that the Torah is Chalkuk Aluach Libecha. So we're associated not just with mitzvos, but with Ksav Shel Torah. So since we have we have Torah Chalkuk Aluach Libecha, therefore we have a mitzvah of Kvura on Mesei Yisrael, but Mesei Akum Lachras Man Mitzvos, and after they pass away, they're no longer doing mitzvos. So then in Mizrakin, you can do whatever you want with them. Then they're no longer going to have that status of Kedusha. Vayta the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. I'm not sure how Avnei Mizbeach and Ofer Mizbeach fits in, because over here it seems to say that they're Tashmishay Kedusha. There's no Ksav Shel Torah on the Avnei Mizbeach, Ofer Mizbeach. I'm not sure how that fits into the picture. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afa Motzi Mishamshay Avod Zara Kol Shu. Even if someone carries out Mishamshay Avod Zara, this year is also Kol Shu, Shenemar V'Leyidbak B'Yamchum U'umah Menacherim. Because the Torah itself is Machshiv, the Avodah Zarah, by saying you can't have even the tiniest amount of it is going to be considered Isser. So if the tiniest amount is considered Isser, that means we're Machshiv it. That means we consider that something. So Rashi raises the question, Alma Achshivei Krali Yisura, that there's a concept that the Torah itself is Machshiv, the Isser. So Rashi asked the kasha that we said earlier, that anything that's not kasha latznia, we said is mema'it atzei asherah. Atzei asherah is not kasha latznia, and therefore it would not be considered chashuv. So Rashi says, yeah, that must be going against Rabbi Yehuda. But if you say like Rabbi Yehuda, even the tiniest amount, that's how Rashi's mitaritzis kasha. The Ramban says that it could be that over there even Rabbi Yehuda is motzi. That over here it's different because you're motzion l'sreifa or l'zorkel liyam amelach. So it's kasha latznia l'tzorech to take it out, to get rid of it. Meaning you would put it away so that you could get rid of it in the proper fashion and not just leave it around your house and lose it and it will turn up again somewhere. It's considered kasha latznia in our case. And this is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa, because Rabbi Yehuda holds m'lach shein tzricha l'gufa, you're chayev on it. So even though you're not being motzi it because you need it out there, you're being motzi it because you want to get rid of it and you want to make sure that it's, you know, that it's out of your house. So that's it's still m'lach shein tzricha l'gufa, and you're going to be chayev. So this is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa, but Rabbi Shimon would say you're pater. That's how the Ramban is metari to the stira that Rashi brings up over here. Okay, says the Gemara. Papel's kolshul the maychazia. So he said the tiniest amount of pepper. What are you going to do with the tiniest amount of pepper? L'reach hapeh. It helps for bad breath in some way. It serves to clear up bad breath. Itran kolshuhu. We said the smallest amount of tar. L'maychazia. What do you use a small amount of tar for? L'tzilchasa. Apparently, somehow it's used as a therapy for a migraine headache. Mine b'samu kolshehin. Again, if you're carrying out spices, even in the smallest amounts. Tanu rabbanan. Hamotzi reach ra kolshu. If someone carries out a reach ra, then it's kolshu. What do you mean carry out a reach ra? It says Rashi, shema ashen behen cholin v'tinokos k'un chalotas lavriach mel of mazikin. They would use some type of bad smelling smoke. They would burn some things and use the smoke to treat children, to treat sick people, to get rid of any sort of mazikin, any sort of spiritual damaging demons or something that would affect them. Shemen tov kolshu. Shemen tov, again, the shear is kolshu. Argamon kolshu. Argamon is also kolshu. Ubesulis haveret, and a rose petal, also achas, a single rose petal, is also considered to be a chashav amount that yichayef rotza. Mine matchos kolshu, and we said metals, also the smallest amount of metals yichayef rotza on. Lamai chazu, what do you do with tiny traces of metal? So tiny Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, shekein roi lasos mimena darvan katan. A small amount of metal, you can make the tip of an ox goad with it, and therefore that's enough to be considered something that's chashuv. Tan Rabbanan, ha'omer harei lai barzel, acher mom lo yifchos me'ama al ama. If a person commits that he wants to give barzel to the Beis HaMikdash, so he has to give a minimum of one ama by one ama. L'may chazia, what's he going to do with one ama? What's the Beis HaMikdash going to do with one ama by one ama of barzel? Amar Rav Yosef l'kalya orev. They use it as a scarecrow. It's something that would, not a scarecrow in the classical sense of something that looks like a person, but something that would keep the crow away, something that would actually scare a crow. So Rashi says over here, in what way would a piece of iron keep a crow away? L'kalya orev tavlo shalama hayu osin vein chadin kisakin svivoseim. They were sharp around the edges, these tiles that were one amma by one amma. Umesamun chadin bekulan, and they would have sharp nails sticking out of all of the entire thing. Umechabim ben gagul shel heichal, and they would use that to tile the roof of the heichal limnos ha'arvim ileshiv, so that the crows wouldn't come, that the ravens wouldn't come and sit on top of the heichal. They wouldn't want to rest on that because they can't. It's too sharp. They would hurt themselves. So that's what this amma by amma could be used for, one of the tiles that they would put on top of the heichal. That's what an amma by an amma of barzel could accomplish. Tos points out ba'aruch erech kol pirish to b'mikdash rishon ne rov kedusha shaisa ba'lo avatzar kal yorev, that this wasn't required in mikdash rishon. Mikdash rishon had so much kedusha that it wasn't necessary. In fact, Mikdash Sheni, we know there are several differences between the first base of Mikdash, second base of Mikdash, so much so that the people who survived from one to the other was only 70-year gullus in between. So the people who remembered as children having seen the Mikdash Rishon were extremely disappointed when they saw the Mikdash Sheni. It wasn't anything close to the level of Kedusha that we had in Mikdash Rishon. So the Aruch says that they didn't even require anything to keep the birds away by Mikdash Rishon. But Tosus disagrees. Valesa, the Perakam to Moed Katan, Muchach Behedya, Shoyi be Mikdash Rishon, Kalya Orev. In the Gemara Moed Katan, it's Beferish, that they certainly did have this in the Mikdash Rishon as well, this Kalya Orev. V'ikada Amri Acher Mam Lo Yivchos Mikalya Orev, and others say that Lo Yivchos Mikalya Orev, V'kama Amr Rav Yosef Amr. And instead of saying Amma Alama, we asked, what's that for? It's for Kalya Orev, that the conversation happened in the reverse. We said, how much barzel are you giving? Enough for Kalya Orev. Okay, how much is that? Amma Bayan Amma. Nechoshes Leivchos Mimal Kesef. If you say that you're going to give copper, then it's no less than a Mal Kesef. Tanya Rav Lozer Omer Leivchos Meitzinora Ketana Shal Nechoshes. That if you're going to give copper to the base of Migdash, it has to be enough to make a small copper fork. Lamai Chazio, what's the base of Migdash going to do with a small copper fork? They would trim the wicks of the menorah, and they would clean out the cups of the menorah with this small fork. So that's what it's useful for. Mekek svar mekek mitpachas. Back to our Mishnah, where we discussed not what you're giving to the Beis HaMikdash, but the minimum shear of hotza'ah. So we said, if you have worn out wormy svarim, or worn out covers of svarim, so the shear is a kolshu, because that's what you have to be matzniya, you have to put into Seamus. Amr be the mekak the sifri, tachach the shirai. The worn out svarim and worms that wear out the silkworms, the ilo de invi, upad de ta'ani, de ta'ani, and the worms that eat into grapes, and the worms that eat into figs, that all these are different words for worms that go to these different things, different types of worms, tachach and ila and pa, and vahad de rimoni, and the worms that eat into pomegranates, kulusa sakanta. You should know that all these things are dangerous. That all, if you eat any of these worms, they're all very dangerous to eat. Ha'u talmid de David Yosef kamed Rabbi Yochanan. There was a student that was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Have a ka'achul te'eni. He was eating figs. Amar le Rabbi kotzin yesh b'te'enim. And he said, there must be thorns in these figs because I feel like a scratching in my throat. Amar le kate paladein. So Rabbi Yochanan says, this one's a goner, meaning this guy's going to die. He's obviously eating these worms. He thinks he's eating thorns. The worms are in the figs, and the guy's going to die. So first of all, it seems like somewhat of a callous remark. I don't know if he said it. Maybe he means, it says Amar Le, that he said it to him. It sounds like he did tell him, he diagnosed him. Maybe he was saying, maybe you better get your things in order fast because you're coming to an end. But Rav Zilberstein raises the question that in Makas Tafir Alpha Menalef, the Gemara tells us, that there was a guy that was eaten by a lion within three parsos of Rabbi Shoban Levi, and Eliyahu Navi wouldn't visit Rabbi Shoban Levi for 3 days because Eliyahu Navi thought that it was a reflection of a lack of zuchlios on Rabbi Shoban Levi's part that something could happen like that within such close proximity to him. So Rav Zilberstein raises the question, what kind of story is this about Rabbi Yochanan? Someone sitting right in front of him and he's eating and he's going to die from this type of thing. So why didn't Rabbi Yochanan Zuchlis protect him? So, and also, why does the Gemara tell us the story? We just said it's Sakana. We understand what Sakana means. You have to tell a story to tell me what the word Sakana means. We said all these worms are Sakana. So he says perhaps the it's a critique of the Talmud, that the Talmud is being disrespectful, that during the Shir he shouldn't be eating Te'enim. And the fact that he ate Te'enim, that's why. What's the name of the worm that affects Te'enim? He said Peh. Ped ta'eni. So that's not a coincidence either. That because it's mida keneged mida, he sinned with his mouth by putting things in his mouth by eating while he was supposed to be listening to Rabbi Yochanan's shir, and that's why he was punished with the mouth. That it's the mida keneged mida of the peh. So also could just be that he was poshea, that the guy was negligent. He should have checked his ta'enim for these worms, knowing that there are these dangerous worms, which by the way are probably also usher. You're not allowed to eat live worms. Or dead worms for that matter either. So he was negligent in not checking it properly. Okay, next Mishnah. Hamotzi kupas harochlin, bottom of the page inside the Yaman Aleph. Someone carries out a box that a spice seller would have with samples of different spices. Even though there may be many different types of spices there, he's only going to be chayev one carbon chatas. Tosfos raises the question, of course he's only chayev one carbon chatas. Tema, the Mekam Ashman. Pshita da filu bahotzi v'chazer v'hotzi enu chayev ala achas. Kama b'chazer v'chazer v'chazer. Kolshkin bas achas. You carry out the whole box, of course you only chayev achas, because even if you carried out one spice at a time, when one held them, you'd only be chayev once. V'afilu rav yosef de mechayev alib drav lazer b'chazer v'chazer v'chazer perakamalo. And everyone agrees to that. Everyone agrees that hotzah achas, of course you can be pater. Everyone would say that. So v'tirutz Rabbein Tam de Mayrigon shenodalo al min zev v'nischaper v'chazav v'nodalo al min acher. He says the case is you carried out the whole box at one time. You didn't know what was in the box. So then you found out that you had spice A in the box. So you bring a carbon for it. And you still didn't realize that spice B was in the box. After you bring the carbon for spice A, you then realize they had another type of spice in the box. So the Dios came at completely different times. So still, you're only going to be chayiv achas. It's all considered one thing. The box of spice is considered one thing. You don't have to view it spice by spice. Zerona gina, back in the Mishnah, Zerona gina pachas mikogrogros. If you're carrying out seeds for a garden, so it's less than a grogros is the shear. Rabbi Yehuda Meseira Omer Chamisha. Rabbi Yehuda Meseira says it's five seeds is the shear. Zora kishuin shnayim. If a person plants kishuin, so also, it's going to be shnayim, two cucumbers, seeds, zera diluin, seeds of, not a person plants, the seeds of a cucumber, the seeds of diluin, the seeds of gourds, also shnayim, zera pula mitzri, the seeds of mitzri beans, are shnayim also, two is going to be the minimum shear. Chagav chai tar kolshu. If you have a live kosher grasshopper, so kolshu who you chai for carrying out. Mace, if it's a dead kosher grasshopper, kegrogris. Then the shear is like a grogris, because it's food. A dead grasshopper that's kosher is food. Tziporis kramim, if you have this type of bird from the vineyards, bein chaya bein mesa, kolshu. Whether it's alive, whether it's dead, the shear is kolshu. Shematzni nosa lerfua, because you would put it away for refua. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hamotzi chag of chai tamei kol shehu, then even if it's a non-kosher live grasshopper, the shear is a kol shehu, shematzninos on the katan lischok bo. Because even a non-kosher grasshopper, you do put away, you do keep, because it makes for a wonderful toy for a child. So children enjoy playing with it, so that's why the shear is a kol shehu. The Rashi points out that that's the exact reason the Tanakama is mechayiv for a chag of tahar, for a kosher grasshopper, meaning he also says, why is it called kol shehu? If it's about food, the shear should be a grogris. So obviously the reason that Tanakama said that a kosher grasshopper, the shear is a kol shehu, is not because you're going to eat it, but it's because the child will play with it. Even with a very tiny one, the child will play with it. Why does Tanakama not say the same thing for non-kosher grasshopper? Because he says a non-kosher grasshopper you would never leave for your child to play with, because you're afraid children sometimes eat their toys. So you don't want the child to eat the non-kosher grasshopper, you wouldn't let the kid play with it. But Rabbi Yehuda thinks the non-kosher grasshopper you'd let your kid play with as well. Uriminhi, so frankly, we have a stira, zeva v'chalodaka de lizbol kelach shel kruv divrei Rabbi Akiva, that the amount of manure that you would need is to fertilize one stalk of cabbage. V'chamam k'dei lizavl krish, and the chum say the amount that you would need to fertilize a leek. So apparently, it's a single seed would be enough, and in our mission we required more than a single seed. So amra papa hadizria hadalo zria l'fishanam torech lo tini ma'achas zria. And again, the same answer we keep on giving, that if it's already planted, so then you would fertilize that one plant, but you wouldn't take out that amount of fertilizer for something that's not yet planted. You wouldn't plant just for that amount. Zera kishuin. So he said cucumber seeds, two cucumber seeds is a minimum shear. Tan rabbanan hamotzi garinin imla netia shtayin. If you're taking out seeds, so if you plan on planting them, so two is the shear. Imla achila, if you plan on eating the seeds as is, then kimlo pi chazir. Then it's the amount that you need to fill the mouth of a pig. Tosus points out shematzinos of the chazir pir sharoi litein lo obid kochavim olim karlo avli yisrael asa legadal chazir. Meaning when we say kimlo pi chazir, we mean that because the amount that you would give to a guy or sell to a guy to feed to his chazer, but there's no way that the Jew has a chazer, because the Jew is not allowed to have a chazer. The Chiddush Aran gives it a little bit of a different answer. He says we're talking about shenaflo biyerusha mi beis avi imo kutis, that maybe your mother's a gioras and you yarshined it from your maternal grandfather, or someone gave it to you as a matana. So in the meantime, until you can get rid of it, you got to take care of it. But Tos says that it can't be that a Jew has a chazer. V'kama b'lo pi chazer, how much is m'lo pi chazer? Achas, it's one. Im lahasik de levashal beit zakalas. So we said if you plan on using for wood for fire, so it's the amount that you would cook a beit zakala. Im lecheshbon, if it's seeds that you're using just for cheshbon, what does it mean for cheshbon? That you need to keep count of something. So sometimes just to keep numbers straight in your head, you'll use seeds to x number of seeds in order to remember instead of trying to remember everything yourself. So then the shear is going to be shtayin. Acherim amru chamesh. Others say no, the shear is going to be five. If you're trying to keep count of something, why five? Says Rashi, da'ad dalid klolos chashavinish v'lo minshi v'ein tzarech lasei simin avol chamesh minshi mosav simana l'kulhu. That up until four, people could keep in their minds. They can keep four categories in their minds at one time. But once you hit five, then that's too much for someone to keep in mind. Five is too much to remember. Lists of more than four are difficult to remember. I think the psychologists say nowadays more than three people can't remember. That three is a typical list that someone could remember. That's what they tell you when preparing speeches, that everything should be no more than threes. Twos ideally, but no more than threes. If you have a smart crowd, you can go with threes. But fours and fives, then no one's ever going to remember anything. Tan Rabban, Hamotzi Shnei Minim Mizanav Hasus. If a person takes out two hairs from a tail of a horse, Umizanav Haparo, or from the tail of a cow, Chayiv. So that's also Chayiv Shmatzninos L'Nishavin, that they would be used to make traps out of. So that's considered something that's a chashav amount. Mixture Shel Chazir, the bristles of a chazir, Achas. Tsurei Dekel, Shtayim, parts of a palm tree, are two of them, of these Tsuri of a palm tree. Turei Dekel, but the vines of a palm tree, achas, they're a little more chashuv, and one of them alone would be already chashuv. Tziporis kram bein chaya bein mesa kolshu. So the Mishnah had said that this type of bird in the of the vineyard, whether it's alive or dead, the shear is a kolshu. So my tziporis kram, what type of bird is this? Amar of palya biari, it's a palya biari bird. You can find it in a young palm tree that's wound with a single vine, and they use it for chachma. Apparently, it's good to become smarter. The way you become smart with it is you eat the right side of this bird, and you take the left side and you put it into a copper tube, and you seal that tube with 60 seals. Rashi says 60 seals, lav dafka. El mechaseu kisuyin harbe. It doesn't mean 60. It means you cover it with a lot of covers. Gonzefes v'shava, algaba v'adama, and all different types of different things that you seal it with. But it's lav dafka 60. 60 is an extreme number to use. V'talila b'ivra dismala, and you put it on your left arm. V'simanayich, and the way to remember, meaning you take this copper tube that has that side of the bird, and you put it on your left arm. How do you remember to put it on the left arm, not the right arm? Lev chacham liyimino, v'lev ksil lismalo. That's the pasuk in Koheles, that the lev of a chacham is to his right, the lev of the fool is to his left. So you're trying to become smart, so you need to focus on the part of the side that needs to be smarter. So the left side is the side that needs to become smarter. So that's the lev ksil, the lev ksil lismalo. When Rashiv and Karen Biavno was there, once gave him a Musar Shmuz, he said, lev chacham liyimino, lev ksil lismalo, is that a ksil is always looking weiter, what he can cover next, what he's going to do. A chacham is always looking to chazer. He's always looking on the right side of his gemara. The right side of the gemara is the pages he already did. He already did. So you want to chazer, leiv chacham liyamino. Okay, the chacham kama debayi. So then you use it until you get as smart as you can get. The gemar kama debayi. You learn whatever you can learn while the thing is still on your left hand. And then when you're done learning, va'achle liidach palgi. You take out the other half of the bird out of the iron, out of the copper tube, and you eat it. The ilom yakra talmudo. Because if you don't eat it, you'll be able to learn a lot, but then you forget everything. So in order not to forget everything, as soon as you're as smart as you need to be, so then you should eat it. Rabbi Yudah Amar Af HaMotzi. So then in the last part of the Mishnah, we had a machlokas about non-kosher grasshoppers. Do people keep around? Is it a davar chashuv to have a small amount of a non-kosher grasshopper? So Rabbi Yudah said, yes, because you would give it to a child to play with. And the Tanakhama thought, no. So why not? Why wouldn't it be a good toy for a child? Tanakama Savalo, my taima, why would he assume that a non-kosher grasshopper is a bad toy? Dilma achile, because we're afraid that the child's going to eat it. Says Rashi, but wait a second, is that our responsibility if a child eats something? The halacha is katan ochel nevelos, ein bezim mitzuvin alav lafrisho. If a child is eating nevelos, a child's eating something not kosher, it's not bezim's responsibility to stop him, so why is it a problem over here? So Rashi points out, and over here it's different. Moduhu, delu yavin lebiadayim. Everyone agrees that you can't give him something non-kosher. If he takes an isser on his own, so it may not be Bezin's responsibility to stop him. It is a father's responsibility, by the way. Whenever dealing with issues of non-kosher food by children, you always have three issues that you need to contend with. You have the issue of chinuch, and that's a father's responsibility. You have an issue of los achilem, that you're not allowed to feed someone something that's aser, whether he's your child or not. You're not allowed to feed a child a dvar iser. You also have a side issue called timtum alev, that we assume that it has a negative spiritual effect on a person whenever they ingest anything that's not kosher. So even though there's no issue of bezin mitzum lafrisho, bezin's not chayv in the chinuch of the child, only the father's chayv in the chinuch of the child, but los achilem applies to bezin also. Bezin is not allowed to feed him a davar aser. They're not allowed to hand him a davar aser. So over here also, if you give him the non-kosher grasshopper, you're giving him non-kosher food. So frankly, Mar Yochi Tor Nami Darav Kana Avakam Kamei Darav Avakam Aver Shushiva Apumei Amalei Shakli Dolalim Rumechel Kachalei Bekavim Mishum Bal Teshak So Snafshol Seichem. But then even a kosher grasshopper should be a problem, because eating live kosher grasshoppers is a violation of Bal Teshak To. It's not in the Sur of Eivir Menachai, but it's at least a violation of doing something disgusting. So you shouldn't be allowed to give that to a kid either. Ella dilma mayus va'achalei. No, the concern is that it might die and you'll eat it. Meaning the live grasshopper, we're not worried that he's going to violate bal shaksu. The kid's not going to eat it while it's alive. While it's alive, he's going to play with it. When it dies, that's when we're concerned he's going to eat it. Rabbi Huda says, I mayus katan mispat sapidlei. No, if it dies, the katan's not going to eat it. The katan's going to say a hespit for it, and he's going to bury it, and he's going to make a whole to-do about his deceased pet. But the katan's not going to eat it. Rav Zilberstein raises the shayla over here, something we've spoken about in the past. It's a very common shayla, actually, in Yerushalayim. They often sell all sorts of things that have psukim on it. Jewelry with psukim on it, and apparently they have yarmulkes that say for little kids, tzadik katamar yifrach keres balvon yiska, they'll put on a yarmulke, a whole pasuk on a yarmulke. So the shayla is that a problem to buy for a child? The child's going to go into the bathroom with such a yarmulke. So pashtus is that it should be a problem, because it's exactly the same over here, as you're giving the child the food that he's going to then eat. But he suggests maybe it's a little different, because over here you give the child the yarmulke to wear. He goes into the Beis HaKis, say that's what he does later, but you're not giving it to him as a problematic thing right now. Later on, it may become a problem. But in general, we may have a different concern, that even if it's not our problem that the child is going to do this, it may be our problem to make sure to try to protect Kisvei HaKodesh as much as possible, to try to protect Psukim. So it's our failure to protect Psukim when we entrust it with somebody who we know cannot protect it properly. So that may be a problem anyhow. Okay, but Hashem, we'll pick up with the 10th parak of Masechta Shabbos tomorrow.